How's everyone doing this morning? Good. Good to see each of you as we've gathered here for worship. Welcome to those who are worshiping with us online. We're so glad that you are with us in spirit as we gather together and worship this morning. Hope you enjoyed what's semi-wet weekend, but it's starting to feel like fall. Getting some hot beverages here, maybe some pumpkin something, right? Good to have you with us this morning. Want to go ahead and release our kids for Revolution Kids. We are so glad that you guys are here. You guys are going to go up with Miss Trish and have a wonderful time together. Awesome. All right. You know, when I was in college, I actually took a creative writing class. It was a bit outside of my comfort zone at the time. A really big challenge for me. And the very first assignment we had that week was to write our own eulogy. Any of you ever done that before? No. So here I am, first semester of this year, I think I was 19, and it really forced us to look ahead, to think about our dreams and our goals, our hopes in life, and to answer this question: what do you hope people will say about you upon your death? What do you hope to be remembered for? So it's a really challenging assignment. It also challenged us college kids who, you know, most believe they're invincible to face the reality of death. Part of life, what we will all face at one day. What will you be remembered for? So it's a hard exercise, a powerful exercise, and I think it's because it reveals on a very basic human level that we have a desire for our lives to matter. We have a desire to make an impact. What will you be remembered for is just another way of asking, why am I here? Sort of a basic human need we have is to find meaning and purpose in this life. We want our lives to matter. And I'm not just talking about sort of being motivated by your own sort of ego or goals, or like, I'm going to be famous one day and I want to be remembered by the nations. I'm talking about at our very basic human need, we just want to know that we've meant something to someone, that we've had an influence on someone else, or we've made a difference in our little corner of the world. We want our lives to matter. So throughout this series, The Power of Generosity, this is the last week, we've been talking about just really the power of generosity that makes our lives better. And this generosity is not just something that God wants for us, it's not just something God wants from us out of obligation, but generosity is a lifestyle that God wants for us. And each week we have discovered a different reason why generosity makes our lives better. One, it allows us to care for one another in times of need, to show up, show compassion and care. It allows us to live with joy and not fear. We experience the transformation of Christ as we trust him and follow him. He leads us out of lives of fear and scarcity that tempts us to keep and hold on to everything we have in case of worst case scenario. And he leads us into a life of joy and community and sharing. And this week, our last reason that I believe generosity makes our lives better is that practicing generosity allows us to have an influence and make a difference in the world. It's simple as that. It allows us to have an influence and make a difference in the world. We want our lives to matter. We want to mean something to someone, to someplace, somehow. We want to make a difference. And this is very much related to the fact that we were created to give. We were created in the image of a generous God. We want to help one another. We want to have an impact. But we can't really do that if we keep everything we have for ourselves. So generosity is that process of opening ourselves up to other people, to other purposes, and is one way that we can ensure that our lives will matter. It allows us to make an impact. So the scripture passage that we are going to take a look at this week comes from Matthew, we're going to dive into. It's the parable of talents, which you might be familiar with. It's going to be up on the screen. If you notice, we had a little bit of work done here this past week, cleaning up the sanctuary and the carpet. And in the process of that, slides are not 100% working, including my keynote. That's okay. The Lord is still here. So we're going to go with the scripture. I am noticing, though, I am closer to this. Did we move this morning? Y'all remember my fear of running into this pole? It's going to happen this morning. I can just feel it. This is the parable of the talents. It comes from Matthew 25. I'm going to read it for us, verses 14 through 25. Jesus teaching this parable. For it'll be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also, who had the 2 talents, came forward, saying, Master, you delivered me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. All right, so the master returns from his long journey, and he basically asks his 3 servants, So what did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with it? The ones who had received 5 and 2, they went out, they used it, they traded, they made 5 and 2 more. And you hear the response of the master, Well done, good and faithful servant. I entrusted you with some, so now I'm going to give you even more. The last servant comes and he says, I didn't do anything with what you gave me. I was afraid because I thought you were a harsh man, and so I hid it in the ground. I buried it. But here it is. I kept it safe. Have back what is yours. I was too afraid, so I buried it. Now, before we dig in, I want you to know this is not a story about how to invest your money and double your outcome or double your profit. This is not an economic story here, about your investments. But it's a parable. A teaching from Jesus, which is meant to be read symbolically, that impacts our spiritual lives together. So there's 2 ways that I think this can be read. The first is a pretty standard reading that you would typically hear during a stewardship campaign. But there's more. Okay, so the first reading is basically our understanding Jesus is the master. Everything that people have comes from him. Everything the servants have first comes from Christ, comes from God. And we, the servants, if you will, are entrusted with these gifts from God. We've been given all sorts of things, each of us. We have opportunities, we have talent, we have our time, we have our networks of relationships that we are able to have an influence in, to make a difference, and just our personal sort of connections, the friendships that we have. And we have financial gifts as well. And there will be a day when Jesus returns and asks us, What did you do with what I gave you? At the end of your life, what did you do with what I gave you? There will be a day where we stand before God as we understand and have to give an account for what we've done, for with what God has entrusted to us. So hearing it now, sort of in the middle of our lives, can in the middle of the messy part of life, it can prompt us to say, okay, well, what has God given me? And what am I doing with it? Am I using it to make an influence in the lives of others? Am I using it for the benefit of the world? Or am I like the last servant? Am I afraid? Holding on to it, afraid that to give it away means that we'll just lose it. This is very much related to last week's teaching about living in fear and worry over losing or not having enough, but trusting Jesus, trusting the promises of God who are sure, those promises for us that he will lead us into a life of plenty, of enough, of abundance even, of joy and community. This can prompt us sort of in a moment of reflection of which servant am I? So that's sort of the first way. And that's not bad. But it's sort of, you hear it in this sort of air of like threat, right? And if you even keep reading beyond through verse 30, you'll hear what happens to the third servant and the judgment that comes from the master. He does not hear, well done and good faithful servant. He says, leave. And not enter into the joy of the master, but go out to the place of darkness. Now, there's a whole theme of judgment in the Gospel of Matthew that I don't have time to delve into this morning, that I want to, because it's sort of problematic if you read this as a threat, right? If you don't do this, then this will happen. And that sort of goes against the purpose of this teaching, that this is not, generosity is something, a lifestyle that God wants for us. We're not supposed to give out of this feeling of guilt or obligation. So the theme of judgment in Matthew is sort of a whole other thing that's important, but something we don't have time to spend a good amount of time on this morning. I will say in your lesson plan, if you're in a renovation house, you're going to dive in a little bit for that third servant and what happens. Spoiler alert, nowhere else in the scripture is the master described as harsh. It's the servant's own perception of the master that leads him to be fearful. I thought you were a harsh man, so I was afraid. It leads us to ask maybe what perceptions of God do we have wrong or off that impact how we live and love in the world? How do we picture God, and how does that impact how we live? That's what you'll discuss this week, all right, in your house group. We're not going to dive in right now. But that's the first reading. But I want to challenge us a bit further. I want to take it a step further because I want us to consider not just ourselves as individual servants, you know, based on how much we have or what we do with it. Were we servant one, two, or three? What am I personally doing with what God has personally given me? But I want us to consider that these servants represent the church, communities of believers who have been given many gifts together. I want us to consider that we are the church in between the ascension of Christ when he leaves earth and he says, I'm going to return one day. The master goes on a long journey. He returns later to settle accounts. That in between the ascension and the return of Christ, it is the church that has been entrusted with the gifts of Jesus, the church collectively. It is disciples then and now who have been entrusted with the care and the mission of Jesus Christ, the mission of the church, that while he's away, we ought to use our gifts together to further that mission, to build the kingdom of God. And we know that Jesus has given all sorts of different types of gifts to communities of believers, caregivers and leaders and teachers, and elders and pastors and love, the greatest gift of all, the power of his Holy Spirit that allows us to continue the mission, to keep doing what Christ was doing while he is away. It's important that we understand this, that the servants were to be stewards of what God had first given them. Okay, so a steward is not a property owner. The steward is not the source of the possession or property. The steward is a manager of that property. It does not belong to the servants individually. It belongs to the master. So they've been entrusted to manage someone else's estate. So as Christians, as followers of Christ, we should hear this as we've been entrusted with the congregational mission and ministries together. This is all of us. We are all stewards together. This is for the sake of what God wants to do here. This is not our church or just your church or my church, whoever pastor's church it is. Right? All of this comes from God. This is the church of Jesus Christ. It is Jesus who entrusted us with the care of his mission and his church. We are simply to be temporary stewards of God's mission and work. I think the lesson of this parable tells us that Jesus doesn't desire for us to be like the third servant and play it safe or be in fear or hold back out of fear of more loss. It's not this play it safe strategy as a community of believers where we're just going to bury our treasure and wait for Christ to return and just sit on it here only for us. How tempted has it been over the course of the last several years to go, oh, Jesus, I'm just ready for you to return. Fix it, Lord. That's sometimes my prayer. Fix it, Lord. I don't know. How much more can we do? When? What is the day, Lord, that you will return? Fix it, Jesus. God has not called us to the play it safe strategy of burying our treasure as witnesses of Christ and just sitting and waiting for Christ to return. But he's called us to recognize the tremendous gifts that we have been given and to go. Another sort of pitfall that we can fall into is to start sort of saying, okay, well, that person has five, that has two, this has one. Where are we, even individually or as a church? Like, clearly, some churches have more than others. Also, not the purpose of this parable. Do you remember how much one talent is? Bible quiz. It's okay, I didn't until this week. I reminded myself. One talent is 15 years worth of wages. 15 years. Some will even say 20. But 15 years worth of wages. So this is don't get caught up in the numbers and the comparison. We start first with the tremendous gift or the tremendous sort of amount of this estate that this master entrusts to his servants. All good gifts come from God first. All that we have comes from God first. Beyond just our financial gifts, all that we are, all that we have, the gift of being believers in Jesus Christ, this new life in Christ, all that we have comes from God. It's this immeasurable gift of grace first given to us. One talent, two talents, five talents, it doesn't matter. There's hyperbole used, exaggeration used in this parable to just give us a moment to say, wow, the abundance of the gifts of God, they can't be quantified. It's immeasurable. And in response to that, the question is, what do we do? What do we do with that? This absurd amount of wealth sort of in this parable. Christ is calling us to recognize the tremendous gifts that we as a community have been given. And in the power of the Spirit, with the gifts of the Spirit, to go, to take risks, to do something for the sake of the mission of God in the world. Sometimes I wish that we would have, there would have been like a fourth person written in this parable. And it was one who was given, I don't know, one and a half talents or one talent who went out and traded and sold and did something with it but lost it all. Sort of want to hear what the master or in this situation, what God would say with that. I wonder what the grace-filled response of Jesus Christ would be in that moment. Did the third servant fail because he he didn't have a gain or because he didn't try at all. I'd like to believe that our God of grace and compassion would still say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You witnessed, you tried, and the success of the kingdom looks different than the success of the world." It oftentimes can't be quantified, and it can't be measured, and it's hard to see, which is why we need each other to articulate hope all times, in all places, together. What are our gifts as Revolution Church together? What are we doing with what God has given us, with our leaders, with our people, with our facility, with our time, with our outreach? Well, you knew this was coming. This is where our third value of our mission statement comes in. Our mission as a church is to join the revolution of God in transforming lives through teaching and serving. And each week we have looked at our different values and of how in our values of reveal, resurrect, and release, we are fulfilling the mission of God right here in J-Town, right here in Louisville, right here in the world. Each week we have highlighted how practicing generosity together actually helps us fulfill this mission. Because we reveal the love of God when we show up for one another in times of need. We experience the transformation of Christ. We experience resurrection when we practice generosity and trust Christ with all that we have. And our fears transformed into joy. We learn to live more like Jesus when we give and trust him and open ourselves up to other people. And then today, release, our third value, is creating measurable and sustainable change. So, okay, I told you it was immeasurable. Some things are measured, right? The gift of grace that multiplies, that's immeasurable. The gift of hope that we provide and articulate, that's immeasurable. But how we have grown in our release ministries over the past 11 years, we can see that growth, and that's measured. And creating change, it's another way of saying having an impact in the world, making a difference, having an influence and making a difference in the world. How do we do this? Through our release ministries, through our service. What does that include? Our service here at church, the services and ways that we can plug in to serve. It happens in the service projects you take on as a house group. It happens in our congregational missions that we have done throughout the years, where we have supported the mission of someone who stands up and says, "I feel like God's calling us to go out to the homeless camps and serve a meal. I feel like God is calling us to love and serve our neighbors no matter where we go." We had a salon project loosely affiliated with our church at one time. We've had burrito riders. We've had heat ministries. These congregational missions, when you hear someone say, "Go and be the revolution," and they come back and say, "Hey, I have an idea of how we can do that." Our release ministries include the house groups. They include those congregational missions, and they also include our mission partnerships that we've had from the beginning with Fourth Avenue Family Scholar House and Go Ministries, or from close to the beginning. You guys have to help me remember. We believe that in all of the work we do through these release ministries, we are extending the work of the kingdom of God. And what is the kingdom? That is the place. That is where the revolution that changes the world. The kingdom is the revolution that changes the world. It's where injustices are confronted, deepest needs are met, our lives are transformed. It's where people use their resources to bring hope to one another. So we have a video here for you this morning. I've offered one every week. This is going to be an update from one of our mission partnerships with Go, and just a message on how we are making a difference as we partner with this mission. Let's take a look.
In the early 80s, Ramon Gabriel, along with his wife Tata and their six children, moved to the community of Olla del Caimito in Santiago, Dominican Republic. Out of compassion and obedience, they planted a church and launched a school. A few years later, Ramon met Brooke Brotzman, an American pastor with a passion for the global church. A partnership was formed, and Go Ministries was born. For more than 30 years, Go Ministries has focused on empowering local leaders in the Dominican Republic and Haiti to redeem people, renew communities, and restore creation through four focused areas of ministry. Go Community Development, Go Medical, Go Sports, and Go Church Planting. Now the global vision for Go Ministries is to plant 1,000 churches in 10 years all over the world through discipleship, mission, and multiplication. We invite you to mutual transformation by taking a trip or sponsoring a kid through our school. Join us in developing leaders to change the world.
Hey, Revolution. My name is Juan, and I am one of the missions partners here at the church. One of the ways that I have seen and beneficiary of the giving power of Revolution was when we started our journey with Go Ministries. A little over 6 years ago, we went on our first mission trip, my wife and I, and we really, really fell in love with the country of the Dominican Republic and all of the great things that Go Ministries was doing at the time. When we came back, we were gratefully impacted, and really God started just moving in our hearts and stirring us to make this decision to start becoming a missional family with Go Ministries. And at the time, Revolution really just helped us attain all of the financial goals that we needed to get there and to start doing this work that God was calling us to. So it was the power of the church uniting and giving, both on an individual basis, but also as a church, as the church together, and really backing us through this process as we were fundraising and getting everything ready in order to start this journey and transition. Now, a little bit over 6 years later, we've been able to see all of the fruit from that investment. Hundreds of children graduating from our school, businesses being started, churches being planted, jobs being created, and just communities just completely being restored. And it's because of that giving power of Revolution. So this is just one of the many stories of what happens when the church unites in one goal to impact the globe just through their giving. Thank you guys so much, and be the revolution.
Thanks for sharing, Juan. Generosity allows us to have an influence and make a difference in the world. We've sent several teams to the Dominican Republic before, but even when we don't go, we still partner every single week, every month, with a pastor on the ground there, Rafael, with Juan, who works here stateside a lot of the year, and seeing the growth of their ministry over the course of just 6 years, too, that Juan's been involved, and we've sort of had been more aware of the work of this mission is so encouraging, so inspiring. It's the work that you are a part of as well, to make a difference in the world for the sake of Jesus Christ. When you give to Revolution Church, you are partnering with all of our release ministries that are seeking to join the revolution of God in transforming lives. And that's what we're a part of. There is power when we come together as a local church to fulfill the mission that Jesus has entrusted to us, that he has given to us this task. And generosity is that key that allows us to live into this mission, to reveal the love of God, so lives are transformed in the name of Christ, so that the love of God may be released in many different ways. You know, I went back. Part of serving in a church plant originally is going back and capturing the vision of that original thought and idea. And we have stuck to this mission statement and these core values because they're good, they're strong, they're biblical, they reflect the love of God, and you guys are doing it. You're living it. This is who we are. But I went back again. I did this several times in the last couple of years here, but I went back again this week just to see how did we at first articulate our vision for release, our release ministries. And this is what I found. I'm going to read this for you. The revolution is only beginning. We do not yet know all of the release ministries which we will begin. Part of this depends on you. You are God's revolution in the world. We expect that in the months and years to come, a variety of release ministries will be developed and launched to the community we live in. We have some ideas. We have a few ministries we would like to do together, but much of this depends on you, and we need your help. We need your help because you are the revolution of God in the world. God has given you special talents, gifts, opportunities, and relationships to make a difference in the lives of others. So ask yourself, when, where, how, and to whom can I be God's revolution? The revolution is never ending. The revolution is always beginning again. The possibilities are endless. And we've seen over the course of 11 years of how our release ministries have grown. From some that I listed, but I think this week alone, again, reminds us that the needs of the world and the brokenness and pain is still so present. In a week where we saw one of our public school students shot dead at a bus stop and another, a J-Town High School, on lockdown the next day. In the course of the next several weeks, Kentucky is going to be receiving refugee families from Afghanistan, and Kentucky Refugee Ministries is asking and calling upon local churches to help resettle some of the people who will be strangers in our midst and how to welcome them and show hospitality. We have folks that are passionate about Methodist Mountain Mission here. We have folks that are passionate about J-Town Area Ministries. That's a food pantry just right down the road from us. We have started and sustained so many release ministries, but the possibilities are still endless for us to go and be the revolution. And when you give to this church, when you partner with us, that's what allows us to continue to release the love of God. This is one of the main areas that I would like to put more funding back into what we do as a church so that we can continue to grow in our release and witness ministries. So one of the most sort of straightforward ways that we've asked you to partner with us in planning for the new year is to fill out one of our commitment cards. So many of you have already done that, and I just want to say thank you. It's been so exciting to see that come in. I gave the deadline for this Sunday, so we're going to offer the final update next week after we have a week to collect and see. But we already have about 20 cards that have been turned in that have all committed to recurring gifts, and that is really exciting. For maybe a practice and a habit that we haven't done in quite some time. And what you're doing is just communicating with leadership and saying, this is how I plan to partner with us so that we can plan for ministries in the new year and where God's going to continue the revolution. So if you haven't had a chance to do this, you should have received one in the mail. If you didn't, there's still some out here at the info desk. You can fill it out today, take another couple of days, bring it back next Sunday. Whatever it is that you decide, just sort of between you and your prayer time with God, this is what we're going to be about in the next year. I've said it before, it's not about the amount, but it's about the commitment. It's about the practice of generosity that's allowing us to reveal, resurrect, and release the love of Jesus Christ in our midst. So I wanted to say thank you for those of you that have responded, and I'm really, really excited to give you an update next week. And even more so to plan over the course of the next several weeks where we're going to go next. So let's pray together. Almighty God, we give you thanks for who you are and for how you continue to be at work in our world. Sometimes we can see it, and it's measurable, and it's obvious, and we can see the growth that's among us. Sometimes it's harder to see. But God, we know and we stand firm in the kingdom of God that is present and with us and real. So Lord, give us the courage we need today and in the days to come to see that hope, to stand firm in your promises, so that we can have faith and courage to continue the mission that you've entrusted to us. Forgive us, Lord, for times that we've held back in fear. And fear that we might lose, and fear that we won't have enough. And so we bury it in the sand, we sit on it, we wait. Forgive us, Lord, when we have not followed the power of your Holy Spirit to go and to love and to serve. Because, Lord, it is obvious this world is so in need of your grace and your love. This world is so in need of the revolution of God, who changes things, who changes lives, who changes structures, who changes society, who changes the world. That's the revolution, the kingdom of God. So God, give us the strength we need right now to say yes to the power of generosity in our lives, to say yes to continuing to partner with this church so that we can be about your work around the globe. And give us the courage to continue to see opportunities for new ministries of release so that we can be about witnessing to you in all that we do. We love you, Lord, and we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Christ, our Lord, invites to his table each and every one of you, all who love him, all who repent of their sins, and all who now seek to live in peace with God and with one another. Christ, our Lord, continues to invite you every day to join this revolution of God so that we can make an impact in the world for the sake of Jesus Christ. And we're witnesses because we're witnesses to our own transformation. When we stand in awe, when we're so aware of the abundance that God has given us in the gift of Jesus Christ, in that grace, in our relationships, in our community, the gift of one another, and also our financial gifts. In some seasons, we're in a place of need. In some seasons, we have a place to give. And in all seasons, we rely on one another and God to see us through. And we're witnesses to that together. We're witnesses to the power of generosity at work among us. So I want you to know that each of you are welcome here. This is not just the table of revolution, but this is not our table. This is not my table. This is not the United Methodist Church's table. This is Christ's table. This is Christ's church. And he invites you this morning to come and receive again the gift of grace that empowers us in all that we do. The gift of grace that forgives, the gift of grace that sets free, the gift of grace that gives us courage to go and to be his witnesses. So God, we pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, on these gifts of bread and cup. Pour out your Spirit on us anew. That this would truly be a celebration and remembrance of your sacrifice, but that they would become the body and blood of Christ so that we can be transformed, so that we might become his hands and feet, so that we might learn to live more like Jesus and be released again into the world to go and be the revolution. And Christ, we understand that you have entrusted us with this mission until the time you return. And you will ask us as your people, what have you done with what I have given you? So by your Spirit, O God, would you make us one with each other, make us one with you, and make us one in mission to all the world until Christ comes again and returns in final victory and we feast at that great heavenly banquet. We love you, Lord, and we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Y'all, Revapalooza! I'm so excited. Okay. So it's going to be at the end of our next 5 weeks teaching series. It's all going to sort of connect. Also for this event, you're welcome to use the hashtag RevItUp. Yep. we are just having all kinds of corny fun. Also might be candy corn. We should do that. We should do that. Okay, Revapalooza. We had this idea to have it be on that Saturday before Halloween. You know, typically we would do trunk or treat, but that's on Sunday and Halloween's on Sunday and, you know, kids might go trick-or-treat. So we're going to do it the Saturday before, just the day before in the afternoon. This is going to be the perfect place to invite a neighbor, a friend, to check out our community. Going to have some great music. It's going to have some great live entertainment and be a lot of fun. It's going to come at the end of our next teaching series, which is just called Connections, the Pathways to God. And each week we're going to explore some of the different sort of tried and true practices of our faith, but in a new creative expression. So each week we're going to have a sort of an activity for you to do, sometimes on a Sunday, including next Sunday at 2 p.m. We're going to have an outdoor communion service, very short. This is especially for folks who've been worshiping online who have missed celebrating that sacrament as a community. I want to invite you after church just to come up here in the front parking lot. It's World Communion Sunday. We're going to sort of highlight different practices from the Universal Church from around the world and how we all gather together on the first Sunday in October for World Communion Sunday. Invite you all from home to come out safe outside distance, and we'll celebrate communion together as well as here at the 10 o'clock hour. So stay tuned for more fun events each week, especially Revapalooza. We're going to rev it up. And there might, I don't know if D. Boone will bring his Harley to really rev it up or not, but I'm hoping rev it up. Okay, just saying. So good to be in worship with you all this morning. Thank you for the many ways that you continue to show up for one another, to give, to join this revolution. Challenge you to consider that if you haven't already for our new year and turn it in one of those cards. But y'all, it's really up to us and the release ministries that we could do together as we go this week now and be the revolution. Amen.